Okay, so we talked a little bit right after lunch about who we are and who God is, and it's amazing how a lot of the music and the hymns we sing have got a real expression of absolute truth, but we've never preached it, you know, because a lot of them are pretty accurate, and we've got up and sung about it, but we haven't really known what it's meant. And one of the, just like this song about the all-consuming fire, why would we sing about that? You know, that doesn't sound too good. Yeah, when we know the right definition of what it means, yeah. But when we take a little literal definition, we're certainly not going to sing about it. So anyways, I was noticing that as we were singing that. Which other song did we sing here?
You still don't know who I am?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's what I was looking for. It says, you are my refuge and my fortress. And in our human understanding, we think that God's going to give us a fortress. But that's not what it says. It says he is our fortress. And he's our salvation. He doesn't give us salvation. That's really amazing, isn't it? He is our salvation. When he came to Abraham, he said, Abraham, I am your great reward. It's me. But Abraham said, what do you give me? Seeing that I don't have a son. He missed it, didn't he? Yeah, he didn't get it. So if God is all, and we begin to understand a loving father correctly, and he's your reward, it means that everything that we have flows out from him this way. See, this is the gift of eternal life. That's what it talks about in Revelation. It talks about the rivers of living water flowing out from our inward being. And I've always, as growing up, thought about the Father as being out there somewhere in his universe, you know, like a marble throne. You know, and we'd all sing the Hallelujah Chorus for 1,000 years and stop for a drink of water and do it again, you know. And we'd be happy. You know, we'd just all be happy. That was sort of my vision of it. And everybody's got their own vision. That was my God, I guess, okay, the God that I thought.
Did you picture yourself being happy in that?
Well, yeah, I thought it'd be better than where I was at, you know. That's for sure. So we are spiritual beings, and God is a spiritual being. So in the second part of James, in continuing from Friday night's message, it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Lust, desires, dissatisfactions. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Now, when I'm reading, I'm always reading the King James, by the way, just so you know. We've been talking about for 2 days how we're trying, that man's always trying to get somewhere or trying to get something. And we seem to be consumed by that. And we think, we even think, well, if I went to a new town, or change the atmosphere, maybe that'll help, And it seems like it does for a little while. It could be exciting. But it doesn't take too long till you're right back to where you were. Maybe it's a couple years. I don't know. I know when I moved to Denver, it was really wonderful. Going into the mountains, living out here in the flatlands. It was beautiful. But we don't realize that right in this moment right now, you have all the happiness you can express. You can't get any more. And we can't express any more health than we're doing at this moment, or any more wealth. Yet, we're not satisfied. And so what are we doing? We're going out and we're trying to get more of those things. And even when we find them, it seems like it's not enough. It just, something's always missing, or something's wrong. So we're still searching for something outside ourselves. We're praying for material supply. We're praying and longing for something, more money, more house, a mate. But we're never going to get what we want, which is what's behind those things. See, it's not the things. It's this longing that's unfulfilled, really. That's really the issue. There's something there that's not fulfilled. And we never seem to really tune into that layer behind the layer. And I found in counseling, when somebody comes and talks to me about their problems, that their problems aren't the problem. It's always a step or two behind that's the real problem. And so I don't know if I told you about the married couple that I think I told you about the married couple that the wife would come in. I couldn't get the husband to come in. And if we have a problem with anybody or anything, it's our problem. And the father said that to me several times when I've come to him and I've been frustrated. He said, "Mike, I don't know what your problem is. I'm fine with you. I'm perfectly fine with you. I've got no problem. So it must be your problem." And I said, "Oh yeah." And so I'll go back to where it started, and he'll finally reveal to me where I got out of line, where the real issue was, And as soon as that happened, I was healed in my spirit. I realized, oh, okay, well, that's what's going on. And I think we're so, unaware of the fact when he says to take no thought for your life or what you're to put on, that we just can't get beyond it, And with health, it's the same way. And so here, he's telling us about all the struggles we're having. If we continually go to the Father and ask him for stuff. The whole world's been praying for peace, and is it working? And we pray for health, and is that really working? You got an occasional victory here or there, that you see, and people will build a whole church. A couple people got healed or something in a service, and everybody's getting slain in the spirit then, And you got a deal going with that. But it's not working, guys. It isn't working. If it really was working and it was from the Father, it always would work.
Yes.
It'd work every time, without fail. And so something's wrong. And here James tells us that ye ask and receive not because we ask amiss. So what's going on with that? What are we asking amiss for? And so we don't understand what it means to be a spiritual being worshiping a spiritual God. And so we continue asking for things that are material. This is why Jesus said continually, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for the material things, for the raiment, for the house. Or for even, who can even take thought and add to his stature, it says. So knowledge doesn't change who we are. I mean, I had an aunt that told me knowledge is power. Well, in this world it is. And you can get some limited success with it. I'm not saying it can't help sometimes. But it's not something that's permanent, that changes your life, you know. It's moving. It's a moving target all the time. And so Abraham did, it's okay, Abraham did the same thing, you know, and he's a famous guy. You know, he did the same thing. So what we do is we're clamoring for something instead of giving thanks for something. It says to give thanks for everything, but how about just trying to give thanks for something? Maybe just one thing. Maybe we hang it on the refrigerator. Say, well, today I'm going to be thankful for my wife all day, or my friend at work, or well, just try that. I mean, it can be healing just in that, just in clearing our minds. The fleshly mind is always seeking things. The human mind. And here's an example of how we pervert things, even when we read scripture. In Psalms 37:25, it says, I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, we've thought of that as a righteous man is never needing food. That's not what it means at all. It means just the opposite. A righteous man knows he's not even to take thought for such things. And so he's never asking God for bread. That's what it means. Isn't that something? A righteous man isn't begging for bread because he knows his reward. He knows that he is his own supply. We are our own supply. And so we're not to take thought for the things of this world. And so the only prayer, the only true prayer, is to ask for spiritual enlightenment, spiritual revelation, spiritual understanding, because God is spirit. God can't give us anything but himself, okay? He can only give us spiritual things. He says, don't worry about the other things. Don't worry about that. I've already given you all things for life and godliness. So why are you coming and asking amiss? That's why we're not getting what we're asking for, because we're asking a spiritual God for material things. And he can't give it to you. He doesn't do that. You are your own supply. Your supply flows out from you when you have right understanding of who you are. And if you don't have right understanding of who you are, you're clamoring for the things of this world. And it's why we have all the inconsistencies, because we're praying amiss. And we're trying to consume it unto our own lust. In my mind, the only thing I really talk to the Father about anymore is just clarity, just for clarity and understanding of who he is. I don't ask him for stuff anymore. I mean, I used to when I was in the grab it and blab it thing, you know, and in the charismatic movement. Why, I was telling God what to do. I was saying, well, God, you know, I owe this on this piece. I was shutting my building business down, you know. I had a ton of stuff too, Rex. I had trailers of stuff. I said, well, I need to pay my bills. I need to be a good example, you know. And I owe this on that, and I owe this on this. Well, so I took them to auction. I had a bunch of excavation equipment, some big stuff. I said, great, I'll get enough to pay all my bills. I got half what I need to pay my bills. I was floored. I said, well, Father, I've tithed to you. I've done all these things, and I've done this, and how come you let me down? You know, I needed like 110 grand out of this stuff, and I only got 40. That's all I got.
Whoops.
Yeah. Again, it's sort of hard to take. But God is spirit, and when we who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the material things, and if we can rest and pull away from this world, we'll find our supply waiting for us when we move away from this world. We won't have to look for it. And when we realize, we get energy then. We're creative people. We have the wisdom of the Father. I can't believe it. I know in my situation, I mean, when we built this home, I didn't even have a job. I had no income. And Diane was working, but she didn't make enough money to make the payments on this house. And it just started falling together. And it's because I didn't worry about it a lot. You know, I'd lost everything more than once. And I'm not going to sit here and brag about all my troubles, because that's what the flesh does, you know. If you get a bunch of problems in your life, then you brag about who's had the most problems, you know. And that's not the point. You know, the point is that when we rest, when we trust, that what we already have is our supply, that we are our own supply, it will start to flow. It would just automatically flow. And I know what's working in my life. And my business has gotten so big that I haven't had an option but to rest in this. I haven't had an option. I can't get my arms around it anymore, because we're dealing with millions of dollars. And I used to have my arms around it, you know, when we were here working out of the basement. My arms used to be around it. I thought I had control, you know. And it's just amazing how the needs are always met if I'll just rest and not focus on the need. Not be consumed by the things of this world. And so when we pray to the Father, we ask him for spiritual enlightenment. We're only entitled to really seek one thing, right? Which is not the things of this world. He says, seek just the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the only thing we're allowed to have a desire for, is just that, nothing else. So we'll never be satisfied until we realize that we are the source of our own supply. And I don't mean that humanly speaking. I mean that the Father within has already told us that he's given us everything for life and godliness. And as we rest in that, and don't look for a sign, right? That's the problem. We'll rest in it, right? We'll peek out the door and wonder if a Brinks truck is going to show up, you know, tomorrow. See? Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you a small example of what's happened with our business. Is we used to have a lot of cash sitting around when we were a retail business. And now that we've switched over to commercial, just like I told you about the Cobo Hall project, you know, well, that's a nice job. But the thing is you don't, I don't, when Cobo Hall comes walking up, which is like a herd of elephants, right? And they want to do business with you. You don't say, hey, Dad, can I borrow some money so I can put your lights in?
Yeah.
See, we had to finance that whole project and carry it. And we're doing it. I don't know how we're doing it, believe me. I don't know how we're doing it. But we're having to finance that through the cash flow in the business. And I didn't think we could do it, and we're doing it. Now, we've got a line of credit. I'm not saying we don't. We've got a bunch of cash laying around, but I mean, if I were to sit and just look at numbers all the time, I'd be a nervous wreck. But I'm sitting there, and I thought they'd show up all at once, right, and want 5,000 fixtures like in a day, you know. But they spread. What happened is they spread it out over 7 months.
Thank goodness.
So it was a bunch of small, chunky orders, right? And it was easy to slip that in to the system. We're still going to make the same amount of money on it, you know. And eventually it'll start spilling over. But we called some guys in from Detroit to analyze it all. And they say, well, in a couple years, you know, you'll start to have some money left over. But right now we're in the red because our growth is so high. Well, you think if you got a lot of growth, you'd have all kinds of money laying around, you know. And I've got less money now than when I built the house when I didn't have a job. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I'm not saying it isn't there, but... I'm looking at this, we owe the bank, you know, like $4 million right now to keep our business going, you know, to finance, because we've got about $3 or $4 million in receivables now, because we went from got paid up front to 5 Cobo Halls showing up all at once, you know, and so it's still good. I mean, I'm not complaining at all, but I'm telling you what, talk about walking by faith, you know, I mean, it's just... It's day to day. And the kids there can see that I'm not bothered by it. Because they were even shook up about the ones doing all the accounting. Mike, how are you going to do payroll? You know, how are you going to do this and that? And it's for a year now, it's been there, just what we've needed, just right on time. It's all been there. And that's what it means. We can't go by sight, see? Because if you're even thinking about, I've got to see it by sight, then the supply gets stopped up, see, up out of the fear, because we're then living in the flesh. And I'm not saying it's easy. I've went through this stuff before when it hasn't worked, right? But I didn't really even come to know the true Father until about 3 years ago. I was worshiping the wrong God. I didn't know this Father that didn't judge anybody. I didn't know who he was. And so, God is spirit. So we can always ask him, and he'll always answer and always give that of spiritual things. And in that spiritual understanding and growth, then all the other things just are automatic. And so that's why he says, take no thought. Take no thought for these things. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Consider the lily. Neither toils, neither does it spin. Yet your Father has clothed it. Beyond what Solomon had, he said. And so we rest in that. We rest in that. And realize that you have the resources within your own wisdom. That's what we ask for, Father. You've given me the spiritual wisdom to move out and be a supplier. That's where Jesus' supply came from. He didn't walk around with a bag of coins on his belt. He knew he was supply. And whatever he needed was there when he needed it. And I'm experiencing that right now. And it's sort of exciting. And it's the Father's business to run business. He likes running business. He's a capitalist. Okay? So it's his business, and And believe me, he's built it up because when I started this, I was in ministry work, and I said, do we want to do this again? Do I want to start another business? You know, I said, you know, I told her before that, I said, if I want to do this again, shoot me. You know, because I enjoyed wandering out in the woods with my Amplified Bible every day and just meditating and learning about the Father, you know. But all of a sudden, he put me back into business again. And now I'm
building.
And now, yeah, now I'm doing both. Now I'm back involved in doing both again. So, there's what we ask for. We are supply. So in John 16:24, so I want us to really meditate on that. I want to take some time and meditate on that. John 16:24, it says, hereto have ye asked nothing in my name, in the name of the Spirit of God, right? Ask that you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Not that you get a big wad of cash, okay? That your joy may be full. Now, our joy can't be full if we're worried about the things of this world. Right? So the things of this world will take care of their own. On their own. Okay? Then it says in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So it's the wisdom of God that is your supply. That's the supply. And that's what I found. We did a huge army base up in New York with a bunch of fixtures, and we started having some serious problems with it. And the Father sent my brother to work for us 3 years ago, a sort of electrical genius, you know. And they started describing some of the problems over the phone, and he was listening, and instantly he knew what the problem was. And nobody else knew it. And there's companies like ours going around the country, and they're having all kinds of failures. And we had the answer within days. We found out they had faulty contactors that were sending big spikes of electricity out to our lights and blowing them out. Our lights were fine. There was nothing wrong with our lights. So we didn't have to pay for it. It wasn't our cost. They had these old contactors that were turning on these old antiquated lights, and they were chattering and sending these big voltage spikes out and blowing electronic ballasts out. Changed the contactors, and the problem went away. That's the wisdom of the Father. You know, that's where the wisdom comes from. And it was ready when it was needed. Not only did we fix a problem, we've gotten so much respect from the Army and the electrical contractor and our representative, that now we're going to get Fort Campbell in Kentucky, which is 5 times bigger than Fort Drum. That's going to be the next project coming. They trust us. Do you know what I mean? There's a trust there. And that wisdom is just flowing. And people in my business are seeing the blessing of the Father there. They're seeing it. I'm saying, guys, this isn't coming from me, you know. And I have people there that are somewhat agnostic, starting to believe in this flow, because they're seeing this, all this stuff just line up. It's just lining right up. And I know it's not me, because when I tried to line it up, it wasn't ever in order. Believe me, it never worked out quite right. So, what do we want to ask from the Father today? You know, do we want to ask amiss? Do we want just a little piece of something? And how long is, let's say somebody, you know, I've got a brother that just, I don't want to say how he deals with this money because I don't want it on tape, you know. But what I can tell you is he goes through it like water. If I gave him $10,000, it wouldn't help him. It would never help him. Because in 30 days, he'd be right back where he was today. He doesn't need money, but he's always broke. Okay? He's never got any money. You know? But that's not what he needs. See? That's not going to help him at all. What he needs is to know the Father. What he needs is Spirit. And that's what, when we're talking about our God, that's what we need to talk about. We want wisdom, and through that wisdom, then supply will flow. And so let's just take, you know, 5 minutes or so, 5 or 10 minutes, and let's just meditate on, you know, what can we think of something we want to ask the Father for that's in this realm. And when I first started to think about this, I had a little bit of problem with it. I thought, boy, that's pretty sorry. If you take all that away, I can't think of much to ask for. So let's just meditate on the fact that God is Spirit, and that what we ask from Him needs to be spiritual, something that would benefit us spiritually in our families. Father, I would ask right now that you would bring clarity to each person here. Teach us thy ways, O Lord. Direct us on your path so that all we could have ever hoped and dreamed for follows a life of faith, a life of wisdom and understanding. I pray for Rex and Dot and Diane, Teresa, Jerry, Ellie, and Jocelyn, and Liz, that each one would be enlightened to a level of spiritual understanding, that peace and joy would be the direction, the leader, that we'd follow our peace and joy, that as loving kindness and peace kiss each other, the joy of the Lord would fill our hearts, and the desires of this world would fade away. Your blessing is all around us. It consumes us. You're closer to us than breathing. You're a loving Father. We thank you for all this. I thank you for this truth, your understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.